we present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the ninth man. The ninth man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Maxson.
Wednesday, July 1st, 1942, the 19th day.
Maybe I shouldn't go into work. Oh, really, I'm not feeling very well.
Come on, sweetheart, buck up. You'll feel a lot better if you don't give in to it. A little fresh air on the way down to the office. That'll perk you up.
Sounds as though you're trying to get rid of me.
Nonsense, sweetheart. Come on, I'll walk you to the door. Tell you what I'll do. You try it. Keep going through the day and see if it doesn't make you feel 100% better. Huh? Be my brave little girl. Then I'll take you out to dinner and a movie when you get home. There's your favorite lady, Veronica Lake, in a movie at the Capitol.
I'd love that, but oh, I don't think I'm going to feel up to a movie, Ray. I've got a scratchy throat. I feel kind of feverish. Oh, darn. Hope I'm not catching a horrid old summer cold.
We'll decide about tonight later. If I'm right, you'll come home full of energy. There the birds are, waiting to be fed. Out to sea for you. There we are. There we are. Enjoy it. Right. Now listen, sweetheart. You just be sure and have a good day, huh? I'll be waiting here when you come back tonight.
All right, Ray.
And don't work too hard. It's best not to give in to these illnesses, but it's also foolish to overdo things. Promise?
Yeah. Promise. Bye, hon.
Hell, her face did feel a little warm when I kissed her. Maybe she wasn't acting. But today, of all days, I can't have a sick woman around the house.
The bomb must be constructed today. It's now or never. If you estimate the size of the Oval Office, you can work out a formula for the most efficient charge. It'll need to be a hefty one.
Coated with ball bearings to act as shrapnel for maximum effect. Gonna be a bit too bulky to carry into the building without notice. I need a fairly large carrier, something that will appear perfectly natural. Something no one will give a second look at. With the help of Officer Greer and a photographic session tomorrow, that should prove to be fairly simple.
What an image you must present to anyone who could see you now, measuring and ladling potassium nitrate into Sarah's mixing bowl. Quite domestic. Just as it was in the old days, when Aunt Silka was whipping up a large cake.
I felt almost triumphant that morning. My office fairly hummed with activity. Emerson in one corner talking on the telephone. Jerry Fenton sitting on the opposite side of my desk, going over the most recent police crime reports. Sergeant Huffman and the two corporals chalking blackboards with Frank Daniels and Raymond Patterson headings, toting up all the known facts and descriptions. A couple of girls from the White House clerical pool breezing in and out, answering phones, transcribing notes, charting events by time and location, as Fenton called them out. One crime, however, which hadn't appeared in the police ledger yet, because it was just about to happen, and would appear and possibly be ignored as of little importance the next day, was the case of the theft of a newspaper photographer's fully equipped gadget bag from the National Press Club, high atop the Press Club building in downtown Washington. Its owner was deeply engrossed in a game of poker, trying to keep a straight face in his game of bluff, when the ninth man quietly picked up the camera bag from behind him against the wall and stepped out into the hallway. He was probably out of the building before the betting was concluded and the hands of the various players exposed. From then on, events were happening rather quickly, in a tragic, macabre, and bizarre way, starting with a fever-ridden Sarah arriving back unexpectedly at her apartment.
Ray! Ray, sweetheart, are you here? Oh, darn it. I feel so terrible. So completely washed out. Sure, I haven't stand. There's no sense in staying in the office when I feel this bad. Should have stayed in bed in the first place. Oh, I feel so dizzy. Poor A. Tried so hard to be sweet. I repay him by getting sick and moping and worrying. A couple of aspirins, perhaps. Glass in the kitchen. Been using the measuring cup and mixing bowl to make his own breakfast. Couldn't even do that for him. Not this morning. Oh, wash them too. Guess I'll just put them away. What on earth is this? Wasn't here yesterday. Sticky. Covered with some sort of glue. Steel marbles and batteries. What is it for?
As she eased the contraption out into the open, one of the marbles, not yet dry, broke loose and rolled across the floor. There was a little glass tube tied to the side of the package, filled with peas and some loose wires. She placed it on the kitchen table and stared at it, confused. At this particular time, a botanist, retired but working for the Department of Agriculture on a freelance basis, was cycling through Rock Creek Park, enjoying its rambling glades and hiking trails. Running with him on the ride was his dog, a short distance behind, thrashing through the underbrush, just off the trail, panting happily. They were nearing Dumbarton Oaks when he abruptly lost track of his dog. One moment he was nearby, panting happily behind him, and the next, silence.
What in tarnation is he doing? Here, boy, here. Where are you?
The elderly botanist, miffed at his dog for not coming when summoned, leaned his bicycle against a tree and trudged angrily through the bushes to see what was so fascinating.
Now, boy, what exactly is it that you find so fascinating? I wonder... Look out. It's a man lying there. He's been shot.
Thus it was that a stiff, lye-covered body with two bullet holes in the chest so close together that they could have been covered with a single silver dollar first came to light.
Hi, honey. You're home early. What's the matter? Feeling worse?
Come in here. Into the kitchen.
What's wrong, sweetheart? What are you doing home so early? Did you... Oh, so you've been going through my things.
Ray, can you explain all this? Whatever have you been assembling? The White House guidebook, a bundle of fake identity cards, the gun, and heaven only knows what else?
Looks like you've conducted a pretty thorough search, doesn't it, Sarah?
I found some of it by accident. What is it, Ray? What is it all about?
Just a little experiment. I guess I haven't talked about it because people always joke so much about mad inventors, but I'm hoping to get a patent on a new gizmo for unclogging drill holes. I told you I used to do a little wildcatting. I guess why I really came to Washington was to be able to watchdog the things with a rigmarole at the patent office.
Patent? And the gun? The different identifications? Oh, don't lie to me, Ray. What are you up to?
Don't get excited over nothing. Look, sweetheart, appearances can be deceptive. My ex-partner in San Antonio was trying to cop my idea. He's one mean character, too. I want to stay out of his way if I can, but if I can't, I got to be able to defend myself.
Oh, Ray. You've been lying to me, Ray. All this time you've been lying. After all that's between us. Why, Ray? Why?
I never lied to you.
You're lying to me now.
No, sweetheart, I'm not. Honest.
Liar. When I found all this, I called Sears Roebuck and asked for you. But they said you didn't work there. They said they'd never even heard of you.
Well, I can explain
that. Oh, stop it! You said you loved me. You made me believe you. How could you do a thing like that?
Sorry. Look, you gotta trust me. It's important. It's damned important.
You've been using me. Using me and leading me on. Lying to me. Oh, hell, I feel so dirty, so filthy, dirty.
Sarah.
Get out, Ray. Go away. I've had enough of your lies. I don't want you here anymore.
Sarah, you've got to listen to me.
Get out!
Just one more day, Sarah. I need one more day.
One more day!
Don't do it, Sarah. Please. Put it down, Sarah.
No.
Open the door, Sarah. Sarah? Give me that phone.
It won't do you any good. I'll call again as soon as you're gone.
I'm not going.
Ray, please.
What did you have to go and do that for? Poor, poor Sarah. Poor, pretty Sarah. You didn't really want to do that, did you?
No. But there was no other way.
Patrolman Harry Pribble and his partner Max Turner had been on duty since 6 a.m, cruising the northwest section of the city in their 1940 Plymouth black and white. And by the time they turned off Calvert and nosed into the apartment area on 29th Street, the city was awake. And the first wave of government office workers was already beginning to rev up for the ride into the city.
Oh, Pop, you're done lucky you got company in this joyride this morning. If the army hadn't found some minor bloody flaw in my medical, I wouldn't have been here now, roughing up the occasional GI who's had a few more drinks than he should, having to round up prostitutes in the area. Imagine. Just because I got a slight cleft in my palate, they turned me down. Yeah, they took a bunch of jackasses the same day. College kids who never held a gun in their lives. Probably puked their hearts out the first time a Jap or a German actually take a shot at them. Yeah, man doesn't march with his mouth or shoot with it. I would have made a damn good soldier if they'd given me half a chance.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have.
Hey, swing in at 29th. If we don't see any suspicious characters in the next few minutes, we might just make a short stop for a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah, good idea, yeah.
Hey, hold it. Yeah, a little Lincoln, gray one we just passed. Back up a few feet so I can get a look at the license plate. Yeah, okay, that's enough. Yeah, just hold it there. Give me that clipboard off the dash.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I knew it. It's a hot car, I mean. We're supposed to put in a call for Lieutenant Savage if we spot it.
You want me to get in the horn?
Yeah, in a minute. Hey, wait here. Gonna take a closer look at it.
Well, it's nearly time to go.
Yes, nearly time. Today's the day. Shoot off beautifully. Even if they look at your bag casually, they would hardly expect to find a bomb neatly fitted inside a graphic camera. Have you forgotten anything?
No. All I have to do is set it when I'm ready and activate the timing device.
With Sarah dead, you'll soon lose the use of the car. Someone will miss her in a day or two and come looking for her. Once they find her, there'll be questions, a police investigation. Someone is bound to remember the Lincoln parked on the street outside.
No matter. I only needed a bit longer. They can use the hour's grace before the bomb explodes to get as far away from a Washington dragnet as possible. I'll have to forget the submarine. It's too risky. Simply drive the car southward until it runs out of gas, then abandon it. Catch a bus from there or hitchhike to Texas. Lose myself while the hue and cry arises. Americans go crazy trying to figure out who killed their president.
Texas, much as you hate it, it's still like going home. You know it. You can sink out of sight, drop from view, be swallowed up by the twangs and cotton twills and country formality of her insular citizens.
Just another face, another good old boy in the Stetson Network. An outsider with an insider's accent. Not like my poor old father, with his snicker-provoking Germanic speech rhythms. Right, enough dreaming.
The Mauser.
Fresh clip.
Silencer.
Screwed on.
Valise is packed.
Yes.
Then put the gun in the camera bag, and we're done.
Just beyond it with its motor running. How could they be onto the car? I better try and pass on.
Hey, you. You live in one of these buildings, huh?
I beg your pardon?
Don't get smart with me, fella. You just answer my question. Do you live around here, in those apartments?
Yeah. I'm staying with a friend.
You know who belongs to this car?
No, I've never seen him before.
Registration says his name is Raymond Patterson. You know him?
I'm new in town. I don't know anyone.
What about that guy you're living with? Would he know this Patterson? Your friend. Did your friend know this Raymond Patterson?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Suppose you take me back and introduce me. I'd like to ask for myself.
Excuse me, officer. I have to go. If I'm late, I'll miss my bus.
Yeah, all right. Just tell me which apartment. I'll find it.
I can't do that, officer. My friend is a girl. A married woman. You understand, don't you?
What's your name, fella?
Pastor. Dave Pastor.
You got any identification?
I'm only a tourist, officer. I didn't think anyone would be asking me for papers.
No identification? What about your draft card? Don't you know it's against the law to walk around without your draft card?
It's inside. If you wait here, I'll go get it.
Oh, just a minute. Maybe I better go with you. Hold it. What's in the bag?
What does one usually keep in a photographic bag? A camera and this.
Take a look at this one. A man in Rock Creek Park. Two bullets in the heart. A retired government worker found him yesterday.
Any identification?
No, not yet. They're trying to check prints. You think we ought to look into it?
I doubt it. Surely this spy of yours would be too careful to run around killing stray citizens indiscriminately.
We could ask for a ballistics comparison. The cops could check these bullets off against those from the armory. If they aren't the same, then we could rule them out.
Well, that'd take days. Besides, it's just another homicide. Come on, Andy, let's rethink this. There's bound to be a better way.
Captain Blazek, there's a D.C. policeman at the northwest gate asking to see you. He claims it's urgent. He won't talk to anyone else.
Morning, Mr. Greer. What's the man's name?
Savage, sir. He's in an official car, but the guards won't let him through without an authorization. They phoned us. Didn't know how to reach your office.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, okay. I'll vouch for him. Tell the meathead to let him pass.
Savage? Isn't that the police detective who's been siphoning all this stuff for you?
Mm-hmm. Sure is. What do you suppose he wants?
Maybe they're going to shut off your source of supply. There's a paper shortage, you know. I only hope they do it before I go blind reading all this bilge. Look at this stuff. Accident at Morgan and Kirby. Mm-hmm. Drunk and disorderly on M Street. Family disturbance on Wallach Place. By the time we get through this stuff, your spy, if he does exist, could be back in Germany.
Hey, would you believe it? They took my gun.
Who took your gun?
The guards at the gate. They wouldn't let me or my driver come through until we handed over our guns.
Okay, well, don't let that bother you. It's standard procedure. Well,
nobody ever took my gun before. Like that.
You'll get it back, don't worry. Here, I'd like you to meet some people. Jerry Fenton, Emerson Carter, this is...
Never mind that. Can we talk?
Talk? Sure, why not?
It's about that man you were hunting. Frank Daniels or Patterson, whatever his name is.
They all know about him. Fenton's Secret Service and Carter's FBI.
Okay. Well, we found him this morning.
What can have gone wrong? How did they get a line on my car? How, damn it, how? Well, they're not going to stop me. Not now. Nothing can stop me now.
That was The Ninth Man by John Lee. Adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Mr. Max. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.